Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
The first mark of a spiritual terrorist to identify yourself, their doom is certain. And what they try and do is overwhelm the minority.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. As we look at the general epistles in our study of making a difference, today we'll look at the book of Jude for a message Pastor Herron calls Holy War for a Holy People.
You have your Bibles, turn all the way back to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, and then back up to Jude, which is the second to the last book. Jude chapter 1, because that's the only chapter in this particular book. This letter, Jude, that we're going to look at in a minute, one of eight books, this was written at the same time that Paul wrote 2 Timothy. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Jude, because we're going to stay there. But I'm going to finish with 2 Timothy chapter 2, because they're important, because they both were written in the mid-60s, ADs. But both of these are about 30 to 35 years after the ascension of Christ. He's in heaven. He left the Spirit of Christ there for the church to be birthed in Acts 2. And then you're talking 30, 35 years later. They are remembering that those days when Christ was on earth. Jude here, and there's a number of Judes in the Bible, but when notice verse 1, he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, he's identifying himself straight up right away, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. People reading this, he was writing from Jerusalem, they knew immediately he identified himself as a doulos of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was his half-brother. He said, I'm the servant. And then he says, and it's a triad, he's writing to them that are sanctified by God the Father, they're preserved in Jesus Christ, and they're called. This is the first triad, three topics together, the first of 16 that Jude writes in this little 25-verse epistle. He identifies who he's now talking to. Jude, they knew who he was. He had a unique perspective that very few had. But he immediately said, I'm identifying with not just Jesus, my brother, but Jesus, who's my Lord. And he says to these people, this group of people, listen, as it is today, he says, you're sanctified. Your past is washed away. You are preserved. You never have to worry about losing this gift of salvation that Christ gave to you. And on top of that, you're called to the future. You have something that's incredibly important. And he, these first four verses, lays the overview of Jude by saying, I'm just giving you, this is the call. He, Jude, in verse 2 says, and again a triad, mercy unto you and peace. He's talking to believers now. You need to have mercy. I'm praying to God to give you mercy and peace. And he identifies a New Testament triad when he adds the element of love. And all of these, he's saying, I hope they're multiplied, not just added, but multiplied to you. I hope that you're able to enjoy all of that. Then Jude goes on in verse 3, and he says, look in your Bibles, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. He says, listen, I felt I had to write to you. I wanted to write about salvation. I wanted to write about all the wonderful things of our Lord. I wanted to be positive. I wanted to give to you. These are so many things we get to do. But he said, I just couldn't. He said, I felt compelled, or he uses the idea that it was needful for me to write, and I'm exhorting you. He said, I've got to tell you about these things, because here he is now, 30 so years later, he's seeing drifting, he's seeing differences, he's seeing changes, and he's so burdened about it, and it's the same tone that Paul had in 2 Timothy 2. We'll get there. But notice, if you would, here Jude now says, here's what I'm so exhorting you about in your Bibles, that you should earnestly contend for the faith. The idea of contend is the idea to earnestly fight for. It's the idea of kind of a exerting a new energy, or it's a self-denial for a bigger cause. It's the idea of a military term that you're controlling a certain area, you're contending for, you're like a military person fighting for a treasure or fighting for ground. It's like, I'm creating, he's saying, kind of a green zone. And I'm going to do all I can. And I want you now, beloved, people that are Christians, to have a same mindset that you need to be willing to, in essence, create a green zone around God's truth because it is under attack all the time. He said, I don't want to deal with this, but I feel like I've got to deal with it. This is his call, that we would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. For verse 4, there are certain men crept in unawares. He's saying there are certain people that have slipped in the back door to your church and to your beliefs, and you need to be careful about them. Those are people, he said, that are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, they were scripturally recognized, this is going to happen. And he said, they're ungodly men, they're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness or sensuality, and they're denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there are people like that. Boy, this, along with Paul's letter to early churches, these letters going out, this kind of stepped back like, whoa, okay, this is mid-60s AD. Transport 1,900 years to today. Do you think that would have any relevance to us? Do you think that our church today is different than what it was back then? As long as we stay to this truth, then we're okay. But boy, it's a challenge when you end up having so many people taking God's word. It's not so much those that are outside the church. It's those that are identifying themselves with the church. Jude says they've crept in unawares. They came in the back door. It's the poisonous snake that came through the window that was left open and now sitting in the baby's bedroom. It's the shark that's coming out of that hidden reef right towards you, and you don't even hear him. It's that idea. It's the alligator on the edge of the stream that slips into the river. He says, you better be careful, man. Now, who are those people? And so Jude says, let me clarify this. Let me tell you, these are the people. And Jude now walks through verse 5 through verse 16, and he uses a lot of Old Testament illustrations, lots of them. Evidently, these Jews that were saved understood this. And this letter itself, again, is a reminder that for us, there's challenges. What is that? Let me encourage you, as he uses this idea, really fighting to make a difference. It's a holy war for a holy people. You say, well, that's really not happening today. It is. We understand that to a degree in our world. It's a different world since 9/11. I've never been in the military. Some of you are and have been. And you would immediately identify there's bad guys out there. There are bad guys out there. There are people that don't like us and don't want what we're standing for, and you've got to identify and understand that those are the things that are going to help you to be able to have an attitude, to be able to fight. There's a book called The Truth War by John MacArthur, and really a well-written book, but in that, he uses this idea, and can I quote from him, when he says, quote, the idea that the Christian message should be kept pliable and ambiguous seems especially attractive to young people who are in tune with the culture and in love with the spirit of the age. They can't stand to have authoritative biblical truth applied with precision as a corrective to worldly lifestyles, unholy minds, and ungodly behavior. And the poison of this perspective is being increasingly injected in the evangelical church body, unquote. He says, in this age, in an age when the very idea of truth is being scorned and attacked, even within the church, where people ought to revere the truth most highly, Solomon's wise advice has never been more timely in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and don't sell it. Now, what are those identifications? This is what Jude says. It was in his day, so it is for us. Let me give you these four, if I could call them spiritual terrorists. What do they look like? Every one of them have a shade of difference, but our war has been heightened to a new high, or maybe I should say a low level. When the very idea of a soldier willing to give up his life in a kamikaze style approach, I'm going to come in and I'm going to kill myself so I can eventually kill other people, the enemy, so I become a hero. But it has taken new heights when many of the Arabs had ended up deciding, we're going to end up convincing people, if you want to kill yourself, you go straight to a place in which there's all kinds of pleasures for you, if you're willing to give up your life. And so to this day, over the last few years, it's a new awareness in which a person can walk in as a terrorist and end up mixing into a whole group of people, and with the slight push of the thumb on a red trigger, explode themselves and kill many others. It's a great tragedy. And that same idea is the idea that Jude has, says, listen, this is what's going to happen spiritually. Do you want that to happen? I don't. He says, we've got to move beyond the playground to a battlefield mentality and say, you know what? There are bad people out there. They want to do that to you spiritually. What are those people? Let me give you these four characteristics. This is how Jude says it when he starts in verse 5, and I mentioned, I would rather put you in remembrance. And he says, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of great day, even Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal life. You know what he's saying? Very simply, the first mark of a spiritual terrorist to identify yourself, their doom is certain. And what they try and do is overwhelm the minority. There are so many of them, and Jude here identifies the three examples from the annals of history by making the statement assuring us the doom of apostates is inevitable. He uses it with the three examples of the first one in verse 5 of the history of Israel in Numbers 13 and 14. If you're taking notes, he says, listen, they're going to be destroyed. Don't worry about what happened. Look at the past. Those people, their doom was certain. You don't need to be insecure to think that, oh, they're going to conquer and we're going to end up losing. He says, no, we're not going to lose, but you've got to identify the realization that if they're teaching those things, that Jude also secondly says, verse 6, he mentions the angels, describes the judgment of the angels when they broke rank and they stepped lustfully beyond their prescribed abode to cohabit with human women. I wish we had time to delve into that. I don't know that I have a lot of answers for it. Somehow, some way in the past, that angels ended up having a connection with man. It'll be a great question to ask Jesus someday in heaven. Other than that, I really wouldn't spend a lot of time if I was you. Third example, he says in verse 7, Jude recalls to our minds the destruction of the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, like those rebellious angels, the apostates crept in unnoticed, they impregnated the church with their lies and licentiousness. And Sodom and Gomorrah, one of the major illustrations of the past, that God's holy. He doesn't want that to happen. Is it because he hates mankind? Absolutely not. It's because he loves mankind and he loves his people. And that's why Jude identifies all three of those as understanding that in all of those occasions, they kind of overwhelm the minority. They kind of the attitude that, you know what, we're going to take over. You've got to understand that a spiritual terrorist is going to come after, knowing, first of all, their doom is certain.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.